WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
And back in for the third and final hour of the program here on Friday, Fun Friday. And my question to you today for Fun Friday is, what is your favorite TV show of all time? Or what is the best TV show of all time? They don't have to be the same. And I'm asking that because on Tuesday, we'll be joined by Matthew Gilbert, who is the former TV critic for the Boston Globe. He's coming to UMass Dartmouth to give a talk about television on March 30th. So he'll be previewing that with us next Tuesday. Also, if you didn't hear the big announcement earlier, on Monday, we are going to be broadcasting the show live from the second ever train to leave the New Bedford South Coast Rail Station and travel to Boston. So we're going to be on the train doing the show. I have no idea if it's going to work. It could be a spectacular disaster. It could be 3 hours of dead air. I don't know what's going to happen. We're pretty confident that we can make it work. But I'm also slightly nervous about it, but it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a historic day. It'll be live from the train heading to Boston. Michael Rock is very confident that this is going to work. They're going to be there too, doing the MGM show on Fun 107. He's very confident that it's going to work. I don't feel the same level of confidence, and it has nothing to do with the train and everything to do with our ability to connect back here to the station. While they do have Wi-Fi on the train, that Wi-Fi doesn't always work nicely with our system, but we'll see. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Oh, you're going to have a blast on the train. You'll love that.
I guess they don't have the bar car open at that early, though, so I don't know what I'm going to do.
Bring your own. Anyway, you have plenty, don't you?
Stop by Stevie's Wine and Spirits to get everything you need to bring on the train.
Yeah. I liked Leave It to Beaver. That was my favorite show when I was a kid. And if I see the reruns now, I watch it. I love it. And I also liked Brady Bunch. And I know they're all boring to everybody else, but I love those shows.
Well, did you ever watch any of the, when they brought those shows back in the 80s, when they had Still the Beaver and then they had the Brady Brides? And then
I did, and I forgot the one about the Still the Beaver. I forgot if I watched that one or not. That was the 80s.
Yeah, and I remember watching that and being like, wow, Beaver is so old now, and he was like 40.
Yes, I know. How old is he now, about?
I'm not,
60s, 70?
I'm not sure. I'll look it up. By the way, I looked it up. Jamie Farr, who played Klinger, he is still alive. He's 90 years old.
Oh, yeah. I knew he was, yeah.
So let's see how old Jerry Mathers is. Jerry Mathers is 76 years old. He'll be 77 in June.
Wow. Yes. No kidding.
And, of course, Tony Dow passed away a few years ago.
I know. And Eddie Haskell was a state cop. He died, too, didn't he?
Yes.
He left the acting to become a state cop.
Mm-hmm. That was Eddie Haskell was Ken.
Yeah, Eddie Haskell.
Ken Osmond, yeah.
Osmond, yeah. And then what about Lumpy? They ever show Lumpy? I think I saw him not too long ago on a picture of him on Facebook.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'll have to look it up and see if he's still around, too.
See, I loved that show. That was just so funny all the time. I don't care how many times I watched the episode, I watched it anyway. And also, that tailgate restaurant's open. It opened last weekend.
Yes.
It was a soft weekend. My brother and everybody, they went there, and they loved it. It was almost just like, they were still getting stuff in. They're still going to get a lot more things in to be just like Buster's. They loved it. It was really good. Like,
so one of my coworkers went and said that they have something there that you got to try that is salted caramel chicken. Like their one of their wing sauces is salted caramel sauce.
Wow. My brother got a salad with the bacon dressing on it, the bacon grease, whatever, with the dressing and strawberries and all that stuff in it.
And
the chowder was excellent.
I hate to have to wrap things up on bad news with you, Colleen, but Frank Bank, who portrayed Lumpy Rutherford, he passed away in 2013.
Oh, okay. It wasn't him that I saw then. I don't know who it was. But maybe they were showing some old pictures. I didn't read the top. But too bad. Thank you for showing me, telling me that, though. But anyway, if anybody wants to try that thing, I know people were calling, they were writing into Facebook yesterday asking how it was. They loved it. And the chowder is really, really good. It's real thick, and it's the clam chowder. And they're going to be getting, my sister-in-law got the fish and chips, said it was real good. And yeah, and the kids, they have everything. I mean, one got fettuccine Alfredo, then the other one's got buffalo chicken sandwich. You know, there's all different things. But it's a really good menu. You should try it.
Yeah, I'll be over there at some point for sure.
Hey, have a good now. Yeah, when are you leaving? Monday for the when is it?
The train. The train will be Monday. So.
Oh, great.
Monday morning, I'll be on the train.
I'll call.
All right. All right, I may be able to answer. I may not. We'll find out on Monday.
All righty.
Have a good weekend.
See you later. Yeah, you too. Bye.
And we got another app chat message. That says my favorite show. Sunny says my favorite show is Lost in Space, and of course, local connection to that, Mark Goddard, who was on Lost in Space. He was a local guy, a Massachusetts guy, a Lowell native, but he also became a teacher in Middleborough. He passed away in 2023, but he was a guy that I knew a lot of people that knew him, but I never got the chance to talk to him myself. 508-996-0500. What is the best TV show of all time or your favorite? Either way, it doesn't have to be one of the same. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, it's me. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Good. I'm doing okay. I'm kind of, I don't call that often, so, you know, I'm kind of nervous. But anyway,
don't be nervous.
I'd like to find out something. I don't know if any of your callers had watched Law and Order last night, but I was watching Law and Order, and it was really, you know, a really good, interesting program. Then when it came to the verdict, it just cut off. It was like as if it was going to be a part two. But there is no part two coming. So I was wondering if that's the way it was or if it was the TV or a problem on that end. So I says, talking about shows and stuff today. Let me call and see if any of the callers did watch it last night.
Well, what time was it on? Was it like the NBC one or was it a rerun?
It was on 8 o'clock. It was on the 8 o'clock, the Law and Order, and it was a young guy that had murdered the CEO of the insurance companies because they were refusing a lot of payments, and his mother had passed away.
Ripped from the headlines, you're saying. It was based on Luigi Mangione.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. I'm not really good into, TV show names and anything like that. I watch them, and I'm not really good with actors' names or anything like that. But I found it very interesting, and I said to myself, gee, well, what's the verdict? And I know both sides were, at the end, the prosecutor was, I guess, kind of changing his mind, but it was too late to make a plea. So I don't know if they just left it like that. I really don't know.
I wouldn't be surprised because of the fact that, you know, Luigi Mangione's trial is still yet to happen. I wouldn't be surprised if they left it like that for a reason, because if they made the story go down one side or another, it would have looked like they were commentating on the real story that it was being based on. So did you see the name Dick Wolf show up on the screen? Because if you saw Dick Wolf, it was over.
You know, I don't know. I was multitasking.
Okay.
I was on my iPad and I was watching it. But when it, you know, came to the verdict, and then when it
I bet you it was intentional.
All the credits.
I bet you they left it that way intentionally.
Yeah, because I was wondering, did the TV cut out? Because I know earlier I was watching something else. I think QVC, and their voice kept cutting out. But I mean, you could hear static in the background on theirs, but. You know, when it came to that Law and Order, you could not hear anything after that. And I goes, well, maybe it's going to be a part two, but then they did it. They went into what was going to happen next week. So.
Well, maybe somebody knows. We'll find out.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Tim. Have a great day.
You too. And let's take another call here. 508-996-0500. By the way, I don't know if he's here now, but Sam Waterston, you know, part-time Mattapoisett native. Maybe he's got some inside info. On Law and Order, right? You can give us a call. Let's go to the phones. Not Sam Waterson, but you're next on WBSM.
Hey, Tim. How's it going?
Good. How you doing?
Okay, good. My favorite show? Come on, I can't believe nobody's called it in. Gilligan's Island. I loved it.
Really? Yeah. I mean, I think people like Gilligan's Island, but I've never heard anybody say it's their favorite show before. You might be the first.
Mine all day long. Besides the Brady Bunch, I just like Gilligan's Island. I'm old. I'm getting old. I'm going to be 58. So I watched all those shows, Hogan's Heroes, all those things. I used to love that.
So did you find that you had to kind of suspend belief a little bit for Gilligan's Island, or were you all in on the fact that, you know, that they're definitely stuck there?
Oh, I thought they were stuck. Yeah, well, I was young at the time. So, yeah, I thought they were stuck there. But as time went on, I figured it out.
I thought some of them brought an awful lot of clothes for a three-hour tour.
Yeah. Yeah, have a great day, bud.
You as well. Take care. That was the thing that always got me about Gilligan's Island, even as a kid. Like, why do they have so many clothes for a three-hour tour? Every time I see Mrs. Howell, she's got a new outfit on. Like, from scene to scene, not even from day to day. How many dresses did Ginger bring with her? I mean, Gilligan wore the same thing every day. The skipper wore everything every day, but... And also... Every single one of those random guest stars that ended up on the island, they somehow get off the island, and they were never like, hey, there's a bunch of people stuck out on this island. We should probably go rescue them. It wasn't the most logical show, but it was funny, and I enjoyed it when I was a kid watching those reruns on Channel 56. 508-996-0500. What is the best TV show of all time, or your favorite TV show of all time? So, growing up, I mean, I was a kid that watched a lot of, we didn't have cable all the time, so I didn't have every show at my disposal, so I watched 56, 68, 25, 38, you know, the UHF shows that had all the reruns of stuff. So that's, I'd watch MASH with my grandparents if I was over their house. I'd watch, you know, Three's Company, Soap, Benson, Taxi, Maude, All in the Family, all of those shows. And then, you know, once I got a little older and I was allowed to stay up late, when I was younger, you know, it was a treat to be able to stay up and watch The Greatest American Hero and Cheers and The Cosby Show. And my mom used to let us stay up on Thursday nights. My mom and dad would say, because it was the start of the must-see TV era, we could watch The Cosby Show, A Different World, and Cheers, and then we had to go to bed. And then when I got a TV in my room, game changer. Then I just started watching everything. And I will watch old TV shows. I'll watch old 50s sitcoms. I used to love to stay up at night and watch Nick at Night, see all the stuff from the 50s and 60s. Now Nick at Night is stuff from the 90s. And you say, wow, it doesn't seem like, you know, that much time has passed. But from the 90s to now is the same amount of time as from the 50s and 60s to the 80s when I was watching Mr. Ed and Donna Reed and Make Room for Daddy. It's crazy to think about that. 508-996-0500. Let me take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments. And if you thought that that song as a theme song was a pretty interesting song, you should hear the entire full version of it. It gets even stranger. But that, of course, is the theme to The Sopranos, which many people consider the greatest television show of all time. And certainly the show that kicked off kind of the prestige era of television. You had that. You had The Shield. You had Mad Men that came along. Breaking Bad. I mean, this was a time, The Wire. This was a time that TV was at its kind of its peak, right before streaming started. And we're asking, what is the best TV show of all time? Steve says on Facebook, he says The Sopranos. Goffin Joe says Supernatural. Beth says Law and Order. Manny says All in the Family, as does Linda. Henry says The Partridge Family. Dave says The Apprentice. Tia says The Simpsons. And both Terry and Lisa say MASH. And then over on App Chat, Participation Trophy Wife says current favorite show is Stargate, SG-1, or Atlantis, but not Universe. And Sketty says she forgot to tell us what her favorite show was. She says that there's so many from the 90s, the 70s, and the 2000s. But she says the recent ones are Boy Meets Girl, Gossip Girl, Seinfeld, Everybody Loves Raymond. So I think there's a lot of shows that people love that maybe wouldn't be considered like great TV shows. There's a lot of stuff that I watch and I'm like, I can't believe that, you know, I don't admit to people that I watch that necessarily. But I'll tell you, shows like there's stuff out there that is just, I'm blown away by the creativity that people still have, you know, year in and year out with some shows. And some I kind of suffer through some down seasons. But I love It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I laugh every time I watch that show. Yellow Jackets on Showtime right now is very good. Twin Peaks is one of my absolute favorite shows of all time. There's so much great stuff out there. And now we have it all at our fingertips, for the most part, that you can go back and enjoy it. We're going to take a break now for the news. When we come back on the other side, we can talk more with you about TV on this fun Friday. 508-996-0500 or send in those app chat messages. But let's turn things over now to Mike Roberts in the WBSM newsroom.
An arrest made in an FBI document leak. Elon Musk preparing for a potential war with China. And how efficient is Massachusetts?
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
The intense storm that's been moving across the country is now getting into the eastern U.S.
It's been a little less than a week since we had pretty devastating tornadoes come through this area.
Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders visited communities ravaged by multiple tornadoes. The storm created tornadoes and blizzard conditions in parts of the Midwest, including Illinois, Indiana, Nebraska, Missouri, Michigan, and Arkansas. Many of those states experienced prolonged power outages. Today, it's going to be really windy up and down the East Coast, from Washington, D.C., up to New York City. California is being called the most energy-efficient state in the U.S. A new ranking from the American Council for Energy Efficient Economy places the Golden State in first place for energy efficiency. California came in first, followed by Massachusetts second, and New York in third. The Pentagon is planning to brief Elon Musk today on the U.S.'s military plan for potential war with China. That's according to a New York Times report citing two officials. Some say giving Musk access to the top military secrets would greatly expand his role as an advisor to President Trump. It could also create a conflict of interest, as Musk is CEO of both Tesla and SpaceX and a leading supplier to the Pentagon. He also has extensive financial interests in China. UFC fighter Conor McGregor is running for president of Ireland. He announced the news yesterday, a few days after he met with President Trump at the White House. McGregor says his campaign will oppose the European Migration Pact, a plan that would streamline border security and speed up the asylum process for European Union members. McGregor said he greatly opposes the pact, telling people, "Vote for me as your president, and we will save Ireland together." McGregor has never held office before and was recently found guilty of rape in Ireland. A federal judge is criticizing the Justice Department's response to his request for more information about deportation flights. Brian Shook reports.
It's the latest update in the legal back and forth between the judge and the White House as President Trump attempts to deport Venezuelan migrants under the rarely used Alien Enemies Act. The DOJ had until noon Thursday to answer questions about the flights, but the judge says their response was woefully insufficient and claimed the government has again evaded its obligations to provide the necessary information. I'm Brian Shook.
A longtime FBI agent is being charged with illegally disclosing confidential records. Authorities accused Jonathan Bouma of stealing and releasing over 100 protected FBI files. He was arrested while boarding a flight in New York, but has been released on $100,000 bond with orders to appear in a Los Angeles court. The World's Happiness Report is out with its annual list of the happiest countries on Earth. Michael Kastner fills us in.
For the eighth year in a row, Finland is ranked number one. Scandinavian countries dominate the list this year, with Denmark, Iceland, Norway, and Sweden all making the top 10. The U.S. once again failed to make the top 10 and actually fell this year from number 23 to 24 on the list. At the bottom of the chart, Afghanistan.
WBSM Sports.
Bees lost to the Golden Knights in Vegas last night, 5-1. Bruins travel to San Jose to take on the Sharks tomorrow night at 10:30. The Celtics are back in action again tonight, taking on the Jazz at 9:30.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
The clouds, the mist, the drizzle, and the fog hanging around for a little while longer. Temperature-wise, we're in the 40s to start. Most of us end up on either side of 50 degrees in the afternoon. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content with the WBSM app.
And it is time to check in, as we do each Friday, with Eric over at the Butcher Shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. Let's go on over and see what's happening over there this morning. Eric, how you doing today?
Hey, Tim, what's going on, brother?
It's raining. It's a good day to come in and get something delicious from the butcher shop.
Good steak day, dude. Good steaks. Nice roast, pot roast in the house.
Yeah, that'd be a great idea.
That's a good idea.
So what else? What do you got going on over there today?
Hey, dude, I got my mother just made nice French meat pies.
Mm.
I got nice, we're making fish fillets today. The fried fish Lent now, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Cassola, I got natas, I got kale soup. Dude, beer, wine, everything, brother. I got chicken breast, terrace major, ribeye, sirloins. Could just rattle off all day, bro. I got so much stuff. Chopped steak, short ribs, bifana, sirloin tips, pork chops marinated. So much stuff, bro. Hamburgers, whatever you need.
You know what I'm hearing? I'm hearing you got a lot of great comfort food on a chilly, rainy day.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, you're not wrong.
And then, of course, if you really can't get through the chilly, rainy day, you've got the beer and wine. That's what will really make it a lot easier to endure.
Win or lose, you drink the booze, brother.
All right, well, what are you going to have this weekend?
Dude, I'm looking right now. I think I'm going to have a sirloin today. I had to change it up. I never have sirloins. I'm going to have one today.
You can have a sirloin on Friday? You don't observe Lent?
Oh, Jesus, yeah. Thanks for reminding me. My mother killed me. I forget, yeah.
I'm not Jesus, but you would have had to answer to him, so you know.
I'm going to eat tuna fish now. Thanks for straightening me out, Jesus.
That's all right. I'll come in and get the steak, because I don't observe, so I can have whatever I want to eat.
Brother, you got it.
All right, well, thanks for checking in with us, Erica. We'll let you get back to work. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, later. I'll talk to you.
All right, that is Eric over at the Butcher Shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford, a real old-school neighborhood market. You can get a little bit of everything there, including a good time, because you're going to be shopping in there with the Pinaretta family, and they are going to make you laugh while you are shopping. 508-996-0500 is the number. We are asking for our Fun Friday question today. What is the best TV show of all time? And also, you know, what is your favorite TV show? They don't have to be the same thing. You know, I think a lot of people might look at a show and say, well, obviously, you know, The Sopranos is the best TV show of all time, but it wasn't really my cup of tea. Or maybe your favorite TV show is, I don't know, ER. But I don't think people are going to argue that that's the best TV show of all time. You know, certainly some of the early seasons were up there, though. Remember that episode directed by Quentin Tarantino where the lady had the steel rod through her, or maybe it was a guy, but somebody had a steel rod through them. It was pretty good. Yeah, the rebar right through their chest. So, but I think, yeah, if you ask people, and we'll ask Matthew Gilbert the former Boston Globe TV critic, when he's with us on Tuesday, what the best TV show is of all time. It's universally, it comes down to that three-way argument between The Sopranos, The Wire, and Breaking Bad. And it has a little bit of, you know, people's personal tastes in each one. For me, I think The Sopranos was great. Top three of all time, but it's not number one. Too many dream sequences, too many little side stories that never really got wrapped up and concluded. Too many characters a lot of the time. I'll be honest with you. You can show me an actor from The Sopranos. I can't remember the name of the character that they played. You know, obviously the main characters I can. But there's a lot of side mobster characters that I'm just like, well. And they had people that played two different characters in the course of the, what was it, seven seasons that show was on the air, seven or eight seasons. So, to me, Breaking Bad was the better show because it wrapped everything up. There were no loose storylines except for one. How did Huell get out of the motel room? Or did he ever get out of the hotel room? Motel room. I think they addressed that in the movie. I don't remember. But that was like the only unanswered thing. Everything was kind of wrapped up neatly. Whether you liked it or not, at least it had an ending. At least it didn't end with a fade to black as Journey's playing on the jukebox. But I would also say that Better Call Saul surpassed Breaking Bad in terms of the quality of the show. And just like, I would just be watching that show with my mouth agape at the quality of acting of some of the, and Bob Odenkirk, who's a comedian and a comedy writer in a serious dramatic role and then going on to become a badass in Nobody. Did you see that movie, Chris? Nobody? What a great movie. Yeah, that's amazing film. And they're making a sequel.
The Americans. Did you see that show?
I watched a little bit of The Americans, but I didn't stick with it. It got a little bit too boring for me. I heard it got better. But, I mean, there's a lot of great shows that I like that you've probably never heard of, like Sneaky Pete that was on Amazon Prime. That was a great show. Now that we're in the streaming era, there's a lot more content to consume, and there's a lot less agreement on shows because you don't have massive amounts of people tuning in on a Sunday night to sit and watch something. And, you know, there were shows that HBO tried to launch as like the next big thing that fizzled out. I remember John from Cincinnati getting so hyped up. And then it was weird and nobody liked it, although I did. Deadwood. Not everybody enjoyed Deadwood because they couldn't follow along with the dialogue. Because it was literally Shakespeare in the Old West. They wrote the dialogue in like iambic pentameter. Or like people are like, I can't follow this. The word choice that they use and the things that they say, why can't they just be more direct? Because it was prose. It wasn't just dialogue. So you have that too. I think that you've got a lot of these prestige shows that will forever stand out to people as the best shows because they could take more chances and do more than people were limited to on network television in the 70s and 80s and 50s and 60s. Chris McCarthy says the best show of all time was BJ and the Bear, which... Yeah, I mean...
Monkey saved him from a Vietnamese POW camp.
In practice, I mean, if BJ the Bear was, you know, real life, you couldn't top it. You could not top that. Although you might be able to top it with Knight Rider. I mean, a talking car that can save your life on a daily... The monkey only saved BJ a couple of times. I'm sorry, not a monkey. Chimp. They're not the same thing. The chimp only saved BJ a few times as opposed to the car saved Michael Knight pretty much on a weekly basis. So, which also makes me think that maybe Michael Knight wasn't the badass that they made him out to be because he needed a car to keep saving his life. So there's that. But back in the 80s, you could make an action show based on an inanimate object. We had a lot of those because we had Knight Rider and then Knight Rider begat, you know, you had shows like Airwolf, bunch of people in a helicopter. And then you had Riptide, bunch of people in a boat. Like it was just like, all you need is like that one gimmick. And in fact, in the 90s, Hulk Hogan had a TV show, Thunder in Paradise. That was just some guys in a boat too. So, I mean, that's a tried and true. Yeah. One of the most famous episodes of The Sopranos. Bunch of guys on a boat. So I guess, you know, bunch of guys on a boat works. That's actually the name of my new show that I'm pitching to Hollywood. See if Casey wants to work on it together. Bunch of guys on a boat, the series. But yeah, there was a lot of great TV that came about in the early 2000s because TV could take chances. You couldn't have put a show like The Sopranos or The Wire on regular television. Well, actually, they did put The Sopranos. People don't remember this, but The Sopranos was syndicated, and they cut it down so much and dubbed over the dialogue so much that I was like, who is watching this? And then one night I'm sitting there flipping through the channels. It was like after SNL had ended. So it's like, you know, 1:30 in the morning on a Saturday, on a Sunday morning. And I'm flipping through the channels and I stopped on, for some reason, like Univision, like one of the Spanish channels. And there is a Spanish language version of Breaking Bad. Not Breaking Bad dubbed in Spanish. I mean, like different characters, but like the storylines of Breaking Bad. Except instead of being shot on film like Breaking Bad was, it was on videotape. So it looked like something out of the... And I'm like, what is going on here? I thought it was going to be a parody. Like, I thought it was going to be like some sort of skit or something. But no, it was a serious show. So anyway, those are some of, in my opinion, you know, the great shows of the recent times. But there was a lot of great shows that came before. I mean, love it or not, you can't deny the quality of a program like Little House on the Prairie. Like, the stories were great. The acting was always very good. They put a lot of care and concern into, you know, who the audience was watching that shows and what they were saying to them. Michael Landon may have been a flawed person, but as an artist, you know, he had the morality that he wanted to portray. And you still see a lot of that. Albert Ingalls, yep. Matthew Laboratore, or is it Patrick? Yeah. They had a lot of kind of 1970 storylines that were happening in the 1870s. So you get a lot of that kind of reflection of society in some of these shows. And then you've got the shows that are just great fun. Shows that just make you laugh. And those moments actually stand out in your mind and you remember. So The Brady Bunch was a show that I watched all the time when I was a kid because it was on 56 and I would watch it. And, you know, I don't think I laughed at that show, you know, more than a couple of times in all the episodes I ever saw, except there's one moment that stands out in my head. Not the volcano. No, the volcano, the oh my nose, none of that made me laugh. Nope, it was the most inane moment ever. But there's a scene where the Bradys are all riding their bikes and they come around the corner of the neighborhood and like you see them all in a row like riding their bikes. And here comes Alice on her little bike with training wheels or something trying to keep up and ding, ding, ding. And I fell off the couch laughing so hard. I just couldn't stop laughing. And then, you know, Cheers is another show. Very funny all the time, but I don't think I laughed out loud a lot of Cheers. Except for there was one moment that always stands out in my mind. It's one of the what they call the cold open. So it's the scene they show before the theme song starts. And so the cold open is it's Cliff and Norm sitting at the bar. And a guy comes in and sits down. And Cliff looks at him and goes, you know, you look a lot like Spanky McFarlane from The Little Rascals. You're not him, are you? And the guy goes, no, that's not me. He goes, oh, well, you know, it's too bad because if you really were Spanky, I could sit here talking to you for hours about Alfalfa and Darla and Buckwheat and all the... goes on for like a good 3 minutes, like rambling on. He goes, you sure you're not Spanky? And the guy goes, no, I'm sure. All right, well, you know, have a good day. And Cliff leaves and Norm turns to him and goes, you are Spanky, aren't you? And he goes, yeah, I am. And I just thought that was the funniest thing I'd ever seen. All right, I got to take a break here. Callers, hang on. We'll try to get to you before we run out of time, but we'll be back in a few moments.
Great show. Okay, the other one that I liked, well, you know, my grandfather and I, we used to watch a lot of cowboy. Okay, Half Gun Will Travel.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that?
I never watched it.
Another show that everybody used to like was Hee Haw.
Yeah.
You remember Hee Haw?
I remember the girls.
I'm going to mention the last three that I wrote down. You remember Matlock?
Mm-hmm, yep.
Yeah, and then Perry Mason.
Yep.
And these were all good shows. And the other, the last one I wrote down was that we used to watch at night during the week was Highway to Heaven.
Yeah, that was good. It was a little preachy, but I enjoyed it.
That show had a lot of love to it, that Highway to Heaven.
Definitely, yep.
You know, a lot of people had problems and they were able to help them out. But I thought I'd give you a call again. But I know my grandfather really loved Bonanza. Oh, did he love Bonanza? Oh, my goodness.
All right, well, thank you for the call.
Then he got disappointed later on in life as he retired. You know, there was less and less cowboy shows. There was nothing.
Yeah, I mean, they bring them back a little bit now. You've got them with, you know, Taylor Sheridan and the Yellowstone franchise, but, you know, the Western shows don't do as well as they used to do.
No, it's just unbelievable. So I thought I'd give you a call because I wanted you to, you know, I wanted everybody to hear these six shows that I wrote down.
Great list. Okay. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome, Tim.
Have a good weekend. All right. I got to take a break here. Callers, hang on. We'll try to wrap up with you, but I got to make sure I get this break in. We will be right back. And I want you to make sure that you mark next Saturday on your calendar, a week from tomorrow, March 29th. That is the date for Bourbon Therapy at Stevie's Wine and Spirits, 115 Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven. It's where we're going to be trying a bunch of different bourbons, but where we're also going to be raising money for the Angelini family. You can buy your raffle tickets to be able to enter to win a chance to buy, you know, some expensive bottles of and rare bottles of whiskey and bourbon, things that they don't get a lot of. So they raffle off the chance to be able to buy, you know, old Rip Van Winkle, George T. Stags, the Blanton, some of these other ones that are hard to find. So you can get your tickets now for $20 and they'll draw the winner during the Bourbon Therapy event, or you can just make a donation. Personally, I'm just going to make a donation because I can't afford to buy one of those bottles if I did win the raffle. But of course, it all goes to a great cause, helping a family associated with Stevie's, a young man who's unable to work because he is battling illness, and you can help out. But stop by Stevie's for anything that you need and make sure that you get yourself over there for Bourbon Therapy next Saturday. And don't forget to, the Purple Dot, you can try before you buy anytime you go into Stevie's Wine and Spirits, 115 Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven. I've only got about a minute left. What's on your mind?
I was thinking about the show Flipper, and I want to remind everybody that today is the 22nd anniversary of Operation Freedom.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Have a good weekend, my friend.
You as well. Flipper is certainly remembered probably more for its theme song than it was the actual content of the show. But that was a show that they remade a couple of times. So I know they had an 80s reboot that I used to watch when I was younger. I also, there was, people forget, there was an 80s reboot of Gidget. I keep wondering when we're going to get a new Gidget. They haven't brought that back yet. But anyway, we'll talk some more TV next week when we are joined by Matthew Gilbert, former Boston Globe TV critic, on Tuesday. And I'll talk to you on Monday when I'm going to be on the train doing the show, whether you're able to hear it or not. I'll be doing the show on the train, and it could be a spectacular disaster. Not the train.